Hello, my loves, and welcome to the Hungry for Healing podcast. My name is Emily, your host and newfound cheerleader when it comes to you healing your relationship to food once and for all. I know a thing or two about diet culture, insecurities around body weight, body image, disorderly eating, and overall just having a very poor relationship between yourself, your body, and your plate. I personally recovered from a 10-year eating disorder and started this podcast as a platform to share my own personal experience as well as the experience and science of others around their take on this food battle the world seems to be under. I hope you stick around if you're hungry to heal because you have an entire life to gain and a food struggle to lose as we venture on this journey together. Now let's get started. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning into the podcast today. I'm with my sweet soul sister, Yael. She is going to be talking to us today about intuitive eating, what it is, what it's not, and how it can be very kind of misconstrued online, and how if you're someone who really wants to find that place of eating from love and intuition, she's definitely your gal. So I'll let her introduce herself, and we'll kind of get into today's topic of what really is intuitive eating. So thank you so much for being here, Yael.
Yeah, thanks so much, Emily. I'm stoked to be here. Great. I was going to say, I'll just start with a brief intro so you know who I am. So my name's Yael Guten. I'm a food and body freedom coach, and I really specialize in the areas of intuitive eating, body image, body autonomy, and through the lens of connecting to our intuition, which I believe so many of us we naturally have such a strong connection to our intuition. And then over the years, you know, with time and external messaging, we lose that connection. So I believe that using the lens of food to reconnect to our intuition not only can improve our relationship with food so drastically, but also just the way that we live our lives and every other facet as well.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. No, I think like you said it so perfectly, like food really isn't the only thing we should be intuitive with, right? Like it might just be sort of a band-aid of something we're struggling with. And it can be a simple lesson of like learning intuition and reconnecting to ourselves, but we should be living intuitively and moving intuitively. And there's so much more to it. And so how, or what's kind of your experience with not having intuition with like, you know, food and body and everything, and what really got you into the place that you were here, which is now like teaching so many people that need this sort of lesson?
Yeah. It's so funny because I spent a long time in the world of yoga and meditation and was really kind of exploring my spirituality. But at the same time, I felt so disconnected from my intuition. One of the ways I remember it really manifesting was I couldn't decide anything. Like I couldn't make any decisions because I just couldn't tap into my body, into my gut. There was this major disconnect. And what was going on at the time, which I didn't realize, was that I was so disconnected from my body. I was trying to control my food. I was, you know, had been years of disordered eating and dieting and really just obsessing about my body image to the point where, you know, if anyone has experienced dieting, you're constantly asked to mute, to numb the signals from your body and make all of those decisions about what you're going to eat with your mind. So that's what I had been doing for so long. And that just spilled over into every other area of my life. So not only could I not really tap into and feel what I wanted to eat, but I couldn't make decisions about like where I was going to live, what job I wanted to take next. And I would get so frustrated because I felt like I was doing all the right things as this yogi, but, and yet this most basic principle of feeding myself intuitively, I was missing. So yeah, that created a lot of anxiety and just disconnect and frustration with my body and with how I was living my life because I wasn't being true to myself. And right, I mean, it was about food, which seems so quote unquote like simple, even though we know that the way that we show up with food is really just an expression of how we're showing up with ourselves and in other areas of our lives too.
Yeah. I love that you brought up like the decision making because something that I've actually worked with most of my clients, one of the biggest things, it's always self-worth. Like it's always like, you know, having confidence, loving yourself, you know, forgiving yourself, all of those kind of things. But a huge thing that I've recognized in my story, as well as like the stories of others, is self-certainty. Like, we can't make decisions for ourselves, even small ones, like, you know, what do we want to wear today? We can't just think sometimes, like, what do I want to wear today? We think, what should I wear? What are people going to think about what I wear? What do other people wear? What's it, right? Every single decision had become this whole, like, what should I do? Not what do I want to do? What, you know, should I do? Not what I need to do. And self-certainty, I think, is a huge thing when it also comes to food, because we're looking for a diet to fix us. We're looking for a plan to fix us. We're trying to follow things so meticulously to try to fix, quote unquote, how we feel about ourselves. And we completely lose touch of just being. We're always kind of looking for like a new plan. Like, that was my experience, because every time I felt sad, every time I felt upset or insecure, I would like start a new diet, because I didn't know how to just like kind of sit in my body and sit in my own presence. I was just looking for a solution to not feel sad anymore. And I was trying to control everything around me because I thought I could, and I thought I could fix how I was feeling with that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that need for control is so present, especially when it actually gives us maybe this false sense of self-certainty, because we think we're really in control when really we have no control.
Yeah, I say all the time, I'm like, if food controlled me, I wasn't controlling it. Yeah. And I think that's, and kind of going into the intuitive eating side of it, I think I'm just so excited to talk about this, because I think it's fascinating how intuitive eating now as well online can be kind of skewed. It can be another way of controlling. It can be in, or trying to control and being controlled by the food, right? And so for you, how do you kind of define intuitive eating now? Like, when someone comes to you and says, I really want to eat intuitively, like, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's been hard to kind of figure out how to sum it up in over the years, but where I've landed is that intuitive eating is really a self-care framework for eating and living that rests in the belief that you are the expert of your own body and asks you to turn the volume down on all of the external messages you've heard about what you should eat, how you should eat, when you should eat, and instead tune in to your inner compass in order to make decisions about food.
Oh my gosh. I've never heard that, kind of like you're the expert of your body, because I remember, like, especially when I was deep in my food struggles, and you're probably the same way. Like, I wouldn't even think that something was a problem until I saw that it was a quote unquote problem online. And then I would go, oh my gosh, like, that's my problem. And like, I can give an example. Like, I can remember in college, like I said, when I would feel really anxious, if I saw like online, like, you know, don't eat carbs because carbs make you gain weight and they make you inflammatory or whatever, like all these trigger words of like bad languages, like language, I would go, oh my gosh, like that's my problem. Like, I can't eat carbs. And never asking myself, like, do I like carbs? Do carbs make me feel good? Right. I just like would see these messages. Yeah. About like certain food groups, eating at certain times, even weighing certain weights. And I was like, oh, okay, so like, that's bad. Don't have like sugar, carbs, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Never asking if it was bad for me and like what I felt about it. And then on the flip side, how I felt about how I was eating currently. Right. Like, I was totally under eating. I was controlling absolutely, you're trying to control absolutely everything. Like, I was miserable day in and day out. But to me, I was like, oh, I'm just like following a plan and I'm trying to be perfect with it. And it was so not intuition. Like, it was just kind of a seeing something going, oh, that's a problem. I have a problem. And creating, what happened was I created problems. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, would these foods be a problem if somebody wasn't telling us that they were?
Yes. Uh-huh. I remember right. even seeing like so random, but I remember seeing like, you know, everyone was always like, always eat fruit and veggies, always eating fruit and veggies. And the first time I ever heard like, oh, but like fruit has sugar and like fruit has carbs, I started to do that. I was like, oh, fruit's bad too. Right. And I love fruit and I had been eating so much fruit and all these other people had said it was good. Yeah. It's just kind of, I think intuitive eating is having your own opinion and recognizing that like, that's the only opinion you really need. Like, I, you know, I think about like now how I eat compared to how I used to, so many people could say like, oh, you eat a lot of, I don't know, carbs again, or like you eat sugar and you eat packaged food and blah, 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 but I feel great. And whether they have an opinion on it or not doesn't affect how I feel and how I live my life. And I love that, being like the own expert of your health, like taking it into your own hands and not just taking kind of like every single bit and piece of information out there and going, okay, so I'm going to like build this perfect plan for me. Never really asking yourself, you know, how it's working for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think, you know, we get told ever since we're young that we don't know how to make those decisions about our body, that we don't have the ability to say for those things for ourselves. And so we're constantly outsourcing that information and looking to the next like Dr. Oz or guru or, you know, nutrition or health trend. And then we really do over the years start to forget that we have that intuitive information within us, right? Otherwise we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have survived for so long. Absolutely. So, you know, I think that and that's the thing. It's like one diet is going to say that carbs are horrible for you or that fruit is horrible. And the other diet is going to say the exact opposite. We see that all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think really ultimately what that does is just confuse us so much that we just say, we throw our hands up and say, okay, I'm done. Like I don't know what to eat. I'm so confused. I might as well, you know, on the one hand, like just follow the rigid diets, or we can then go into that kind of like binging mentality of like, well, none of it matters anyway. Yeah. So by reclaiming this idea that we are the experts of our own body, it asks us to remember and reconnect to that trust that we've always had in our bodies that has just been like deteriorated over the years because of these outside sources.
Yeah, I think that this is such a profound message for people who've like struggled with food for at any point in their life, but especially for people trying to heal that recovery. Because I get the question a lot, and this is like such diet culture, like the worst thing ever. Yeah, playing into our minds. I get the question so often from people like on Instagram and things about like that they struggled with some form of an eating disorder, whether it be binge eating, restrictive dieting, like really all around the spectrum. And then they'll ask me like, how did you eat during recovery? And isn't that fascinating? You're trying to once again mimic someone else's diet and find a new plan. And it always breaks my heart because I'm like, you know, that's not the point of recovery, is just adopting another diet, even if you're eating a little bit more. It really is figuring out like, what do you need? What do you like? When do you like it? And there's so many other things that go into it than just going, I want to heal my relationship to food. This person did. What did you eat? Right. And like, how did you eat? And yeah, that I get that question so often, and it makes me so sad. And I get the same question around like body weight, where it's like, you know, how much did you weigh when you recovered? As in like, oh, there's another standard. I'm trying to get better, but I'm still trying to hold on to, okay, so this is exactly how I get better, following someone else's guide. I think that's such diet culture. It's such like a, you know, that there's a one size fits all when it comes to weight, when it comes to health, when it comes to body image, like all of those things. There's just like some formula that we're all trying to get. And I really think the problem is that we believe there's a formula. Like, is that we believe that there's one way that everyone should live forever and look perfect and weigh perfectly, instead of really, yeah, tapping into like, how do we like to live? It could be completely different from someone else. And how would you say that then diet culture has definitely affected sort of like how we can't eat intuitively, but then also on the flip side, do you think diet culture has also tried to influence what intuitive eating means?
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, just thinking about this kind of, even in recovery, we can like compare ourselves mm-hmm. to other people. I always think about, you know, people say, I just want to be like a normal eater. And even then it's like, we have this idea of what normal eating is. And if we don't fit inside that box, we feel bad about ourselves or we feel othered. And just to echo what you said, like, I don't believe that there really is one definition of what normal eating is. It's just what is true for me. You know, what is normal for me.
Yeah.
And I think as intuitive eating has gained more traction, has like become a little bit more in the public eye, that absolutely diet culture has been trying to like capitalize and influence what intuitive eating is. And there also is, there is a lot of misinformation out there about what true intuitive eating is, because it is intuitive, meaning that there is no kind of like set of guidelines that you can Google to tell you what it means to eat intuitively, because it's something that each of us needs to decide for ourselves. So I really do think that, yeah, diet culture has tried to infiltrate even the intuitive eating space.
Yeah, I just remember kind of with, and I'm sure people listening will kind of like really like resonate with this. I remember when I was trying to heal my relationship to food, I would look up kind of like how to intuitively, or yeah, how to do intuitive eating. And I would look up YouTube videos, or I would look up like blog posts online, and some of them were absolutely incredible as always. And then some of them, it just kind of fascinated me that intuitive eating almost became synonymous with like clean eating, at least from kind of what I found. Like my experience was like, oh, so intuitive eating is eating plant-based vegan, or like intuitive eating is, you know, eating a smoothie for every meal. Like, it was very confusing because exactly everyone's intuitive eating is completely different. And so people, and like not shaming them whatsoever, right? Everyone thinks that they're like helping people. I think just calling attention to like that simple fact is intuitive eating is completely different. So me Googling like how to intuitively eat, I probably won't find it, right? Because I won't find someone exactly like me with my body, with my activity, with my preferences, you know. And I just do remember kind of finding, you know, my day of intuitive eating, vegan, paleo, plant-based, whatever. And I was like, oh, okay, so like, is intuitive eating only clean? Like you never eat junk food, right? And I'm sure you get those kind of questions all the time, like how it's kind of can be skewed a little bit if you don't recognize that intuitive eating should only come from you.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that if anybody advocating for intuitive eating is guiding or directing you towards eating is only specific foods in general, that's an immediate red flag that that's not intuitive eating, because they're truly, with intuitive eating, there is permission to eat all the different foods. And eventually, once you do make peace with food, you get to invite your preferences back in. And maybe you do decide that you want to eat less dairy or whatever it is, but that is something that comes from an internal place of knowing versus that, you know, external pressure. But you can't get to that place while you're still trying to modify or curate your diet. So I would say that that right there is like an immediate sign that somebody is on a different agenda, that if somebody is advocating, oh, you can be an intuitive eater, but like really you should focus on eating these foods, that right there is like, well, that's not really intuitive eating.
No, I read someone somewhere writing where it was like, because of course the question, like, and I get this question even in recovery too, where it's like, well, but I care about animals and I want to be vegan. Like, that's one of my biggest questions that kind of I get, is like how to heal your relationship to food, but you don't want to eat animal products. And what I kind of always say is like, you don't have to put a label on yourself. If you naturally don't want to eat animal products, kind of like what you were saying, like that will play itself out, right? Like you just won't be geared towards it. Like I always use the example of like, I hate cooked mushrooms. Like it's the most random thing, but I don't like them. And so I don't have to say like, I'm an intuitive eater, but I don't eat mushrooms. I just don't eat them because I don't enjoy them and I never crave them. If I wanted to, I could, I never do, but like, that's, I think, a little bit of an example of like taking away the labels. You can still have preferences. They just, we're trying to not make them restrictions, which is what you were saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would actually say that that is intuitive, is to factor in like your ethics, your beliefs, your preferences, you know, combining that all into this well of information and guidance that lives within you, and then operating from that place, I think, is intuitive.
It's taking all of you. Yeah.
Right.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
What would you say, like, what's the biggest question you get around intuitive eating? Or maybe what is the biggest challenge that you kind of run into people who are seeking, like, wanting to eat intuitively? Mm-hmm.
I think a big one that is present for me right now, because I was just working on this with a client recently, is the idea of like, well, what do I even eat? Or how do I know where to start? Because when we are transitioning away from the diet mentality, which, as we've said, like really gives you this very explicit plan of what to eat, when, why, how much, it can then be really hard to just kind of like jump into this new way of being with food. And there can be this initial overwhelm or this initial shock, even this feeling of like despair, because it's just like, well, I don't really know what to eat. And I talk a lot about satisfaction around intuitive eating, because satisfaction is really considered to be the hub of intuitive eating, like the kind of center point that we should base our food decisions around. And so many people that I speak with or work with on this are just like, well, I don't really know what is satisfying. And so how do I start to tune back into that?
Yeah. And how would you start? How would you tell someone to kind of start? I love, because I've actually said before, I had a similar experience where a client was like, I'll be full, but I like still want to eat something else, or I still want to eat more. Right. And that is, you're not satisfied. You might be physically full, but you are not spiritually full, mentally full, whatever, with the food. And that is just as valid, if not more valid, I think, during, especially when you're trying to heal your relationship to food. How do you kind of start to tap into, yeah, slowly, like, listening to yourself again? It is really hard. I think like we've muted ourselves for so long, and we have lived in our head for so long, that then to try to live in our body is kind of scary at first.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think starting right there, it's like starting to really allow the mind that normally wants to run the show, like allowing that part of yourself to take a back seat while you're thinking about food, or rather when you're feeling about food. I recommend actually, you know, it can feel like there's a lot of pressure up front to be a perfect intuitive eater. So it's like, it can almost be paralyzing to open your fridge and be like, what is the most perfectly satisfying thing that meets every criteria I have right now? And ultimately the goal with intuitive eating is to make food less of a big deal. So we want to avoid being this like perfect intuitive eater. I often recommend, after you do eat, as you're just kind of experimenting and trying out different foods and different ways of eating, check in with yourself after a meal and ask yourself, like, was that a satisfying meal? How do I feel right now? You know, in my definition of satisfaction, I think about, was this something that tasted good and made me feel good too? Like, because yeah, satisfaction is more than just satiety. It's kind of this multifaceted experience. And if it wasn't satisfying, we can start to collect data for ourselves over time. Like, okay, maybe this wasn't really satisfying. What was I maybe wanting more of? Would I add something in next time or take something out? Would I just eat more next time? So starting to kind of adopt this neutral reflection about the food that we eat, so that we can add that data to our toolkit and use it to make more informed decisions next time.
Yeah. My gosh. And it's not, I love that it's not a perfect process. It's not a quick one sometimes, like, and that's okay, right? It can take a quite a long time, and like, it's worth it to take that long time to really make sure that it sticks and to really make sure that you're actually healing and asking the questions and putting in the work. And for me, I know, and this sounds so funny, and people listening might still be kind of like, no, like, I really don't know what to eat, or I'm not sure where to start. For me, I remember, like, if I said, like, okay, like, it's lunchtime, what do I want? I would think of something, but then I would immediately judge what I thought of, and I would go, oh no, like, I should, right? I do think it's still there. And I think if we just allow ourselves to go with, like, that, yeah, that gut instinct, that first thing, it doesn't have to make sense. Like, I remember going through recovery, I would, like, some days I would say, like, what do I want for breakfast? A sub. Like, I want a sub. I want a sub sandwich. Like, that's what I want. Right. And then I would immediately go, oh no, but like, we're supposed to eat eggs for breakfast, right? And like, all these other things would come in, instead of going like, no, what do I want? I want a sub. I'm going to go get a sub, right? And just and taking those small steps, when you can catch yourself having an opinion or having a preference, and then you're trying to like change it or backtrack it, those are also the meals that I would, let's say like I did end up eating eggs for breakfast, I would still want the sub after, right? I would eat a breakfast. I would eat, like, quote unquote, enough to satisfy me physically. And then right after I was done eating breakfast, I would immediately still think about the sandwich. Right. And so, and yeah, and those are little moments that I think we think like, why is this happening? This is so undisciplined. Why, you know, all of these like sort of really self-deprecating things come into play when that happens. Like, I would have days where I would eat the same thing for like breakfast, lunch, and dinner sometimes. And that's just genuinely what I was craving. And yeah, so I kind of wanted to share that, because I think some of us know that more, where we're like, you know, what do you want for dinner? I want a smoothie bowl. I don't know. Or like, I want Captain Crunch. Right. And if you can say it immediately, and then you go, no, no, like, we should have like a meat and a veg and blah, 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 like, just eating that first thing as many times as you can. And the quicker you can, really helps to kind of, yeah, gain that intuition back.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then you're also not second guessing yourself. Like, you're responding with that gut instinct. And so often that gut, you know, that first response is our intuition speaking, and then the mind comes in to question or doubt it or compare it to the rules. But as we know, there are no rules with intuitive eating. So you can have a sub for breakfast or Captain Crunch for dinner. And it's actually really exciting and really thrilling to break some of those rules. And just, you know, I know for me, a big food rule I had in the beginning, or for a long time, but also really held on to in the beginning of my intuitive eating recovery journey, was like, oh, there needs to be like a green vegetable with every single meal, right? And so when I was recovering, I was like actively fighting that by having a, you know, just a bowl of like white and beige foods for dinner and just like pushing back on that rule.
I think writing out your rules can really help, because yeah, sometimes you don't even realize what rules you carry. One of mine was like that I couldn't eat like heavy carb meals until dinner. Like dinner was for carbs, but like breakfast and lunch were supposed to be like yeah, salads and eggs and things like that. And yeah, and so writing it down and then going, ooh, today I'm going to try to push this one, right? And like eat a big bowl of oatmeal for breakfast or something and push the rules that I carry, because everyone's rules are different too. And I think a question that like I know that also people might be like thinking and wondering is, in a world where everyone is dieting, kind of going off those, like everyone has rules, everyone is doing something different, and how do you stick to intuitive eating, right? Like how do you, I know for myself, like, and I keep referencing recovery, but that really was when I kind of found intuitive eating. At first, I was so scared of like the judgment of eating a sub for breakfast, right? And like, and having people make comments about it, or let's say going and getting, I wanted to go to the cookie store or whatever, but I wanted 4 cookies of different kinds, and doing that and knowing that people might be judging me for following my intuition. How do you really help clients kind of battle that and just really sticking to your plan and your truth? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think this is a great example of one of the areas in which we're talking about food, but we're also just talking about your whole life in general, right? And ultimately, intuitive eating and recognizing that you're the expert of your own body, what it asks of each of us is to put our needs first. It asks us to stop living life as a people pleaser, or, you know, constantly wanting to perform or feel accepted and well received and be doing like the right things in the eyes of everybody else. Because when we do that over time, we are the ones that end up suffering so deeply. And so intuitive eating asks us to kind of flip the switch. Like, how can I start to actually believe and feel and live into the fact that my needs matter and I deserve to put my needs first? And then if that makes other people uncomfortable, yeah, okay. Like, that is a side effect or a consequence that I am now willing to live with, because I am no longer willing to betray myself, to sell myself short, or to, you know, put my own needs aside just to look better in somebody else's eyes. I think many of the people who struggle with their relationship with food would identify as people pleasers. Mm-hmm. And so, right, we have that need, and dieting is a people pleasing behavior, because so many people are doing it. It really is considered a good quote unquote thing to do as a human. Mm. And so part of this journey is about recognizing, am I willing to be less, you know, quote, good in the eyes of others, so that I can live more truthfully with more meaning and with more fulfillment in my own life.
And I think people will always have something to say about your food, right? Like, you could, when I ate paleo, vegan, blah, 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 everyone always has something to say, and because everyone has different beliefs around it. And so, yeah, recognizing that as well is like, maybe intuitive eating is just the final chance for you to feel good about how you eat. People are always going to feel good, bad, weird, whatever about it. And it doesn't, yeah, it's not their body exactly. And so I love that. Yeah. If you had one final thing to leave people who are really searching for intuitive eating, or who are kind of battling maybe the belief that they just can't, right? Like, they are too far gone. They don't know how to just live intuitively, even, kind of, what would you leave people with?
Yeah, I think I would say the number one most important part of the intuitive eating journey is just to trust. Trust yourself, trust the process, and trust your body. It's going to feel really hard on some days, and that doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong. In fact, that means that you're doing everything right. It should be hard, because we're breaking down these really, really old, deeply rooted belief systems and patterns. So if that doesn't feel hard, you're probably not pushing yourself enough in recovery. So trust, you know that there is a light at the end of a tunnel, at the end of the tunnel, and that anyone who's ever been through this process and has gotten to the other side would tell you, and you know, I'm curious to hear what you'd say, like, I don't regret a single step of the journey, even when it was so hard. I know looking back that it was all so necessary for my healing. And the more you surrender into and trust the process, the greater the freedom on the other side.
Like I, yeah, 101%. I always really like, I just didn't think that like I could be my own happiness. That was always my thing. Like how can I just start living my life and living my truth and doing my thing? And how can that ever make me happy when no one else is telling me like, yeah, you're doing it right. And like, go you. And like, that's great. Right. And I had just always seeked that validation out in my life. But for someone who really wants to start this process of living intuitively, like you just can't imagine how incredible it feels to do something that your whole life you believed was wrong, and it's now right for you. And you can feel it. Like I, you know, as I got better and better with my food, even for example, like when I would eat a meal that I just really wanted to have, regardless of if a year ago to me it was wrong, and I'm putting that in quotes, or bad or whatever, like the feeling of just like honoring yourself, there's nothing else like it. And so, yeah, the discomfort, it goes away. You keep growing, you keep learning. And I completely agree. I say the same thing to my clients where it's like, we want to feel so uncomfortable, because if you don't, you're not changing anything and you're not going to have any sort of lasting change. And that is the hardest thing with self-development, is it's not always beautiful. And like, and we think that we're upgrading ourselves, and so it should be so easy and so blissful and so everything. And like, it's not always, like it's a lot of work. But it's so much easier to do with someone on your side, right? Like Yael. And if someone listening has been struggling with this and really wants to find their intuition, like where can they find you? How can they get in touch with you? Because I think your message is so powerful. And I think it is the new movement that people are going to go towards, because diet culture has done this all real dirty. Like,
yeah, we're ready.
We're ready.
I'm on Instagram at empowered.palette. And for those who are really ready to dive in and do this work and who are done with dieting, I offer a 10-week group program, which takes us through every step of the way of ditching the diet mentality and stepping into total food freedom. And I think even just us connecting here is really illuminating how powerful it is to do this work in group, and knowing that it can be a lonely journey when you're ditching diets in a world that's so obsessed with them. That's why I'm so passionate about doing this work in a group setting. So yeah, if anyone is curious, reach out, check out my website, www.empoweredpalette.com. All the information is there. And yeah, just even just following on social media and starting to read the articles, the podcasts, like right now, that is really a big way to start to shift your mindset.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Thank you so much, Yael. And yeah, I will link everything about her below, so you guys can absolutely go check her out. And we really appreciate you being here. Like, we're behind you, whatever you want to eat, however you want to live, whoever you want to be, we got you. And we just really, yeah, want you to honor your truth. And I promise that nothing feels better. So we will talk to you guys real soon.